Welcome to Fatherhood Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Kelly, and I'm here to remind you, however you're listening and wherever you're listening, that as dads, we're just like moms. Except we're dads. Ha ha! Introduce yourself again, since you're a returning guest.
Well, thank you for having me back, Kelly. And I'm Matt Wilbur, co-founder of the Fitness Rebellion. And we've had you under our care for a little while now. We got some interesting things to talk about today, man.
Yeah. How long has it been? Because I'm not keeping count. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we just wrapped up 17 weeks, and it's crazy how fast that flies. So
yes.
I'd be curious to get your input. Like, do you mind sharing a little bit about like where you were at like 17 weeks ago when we first connected when it comes to your body and health?
Yeah. So 17 weeks ago, when we first connected, I was, let me see. So we had spoken about me wanting to start this fitness journey. And the reason for that was because I want to offer my healthiest self to my son. And so that's been the goal behind it. And so when you reached out to me and we got this partnership going, it was perfect timing. So 17 weeks ago, I was not necessarily paying too much attention to what I ate, when I ate, how much I ate, how much of what I ate. I wasn't calorie counting. I wasn't thinking about protein forward meals. I wasn't thinking about, you know, fats and calories and cholesterol. I wasn't thinking about any of that stuff. But I knew that in order to get to a place where I felt better about myself and about my health, in order to offer that best version of myself at the time to my kid, that these things would be something. So when I first started with the Fitness Rebellion, which is the fitness gym, that online fitness program that you are a co-founder of, I didn't know how involved things would get in terms of having to rearrange like schedule, in terms of having to think about meal prep, in terms of having to think about just how to streamline everything so that my day, my life, my work would all fit around, or I could fit a fitness program around all of those things and just kind of tighten those things up. And to me, that was probably the biggest chunk of adjustment that I had to make really quickly, really early on. And in the interest of full disclosure and transparency, I have not gotten it all together yet, because it is such a, at least in my case, it's such a Herculean task to be able to do all of those things. But the moments where I have put things together, it's been magical.
And with that in mind, I think it'd be helpful for the listeners for you to share a little bit of like, what advice would you give to someone who's trying to get their health and fitness in check? Because it is a challenge. It is a struggle. And I'm not here to BS anyone.
Yeah. So what advice I would give to someone who is trying to
get their health and fitness in check and trying to get everything together, like you're still working through?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question. The first thing I would say to someone is be not just patient with yourself, but be realistic, and really give yourself time in order to make those changes in a way that will be long lasting, as opposed to a way that, it feels forced for the sake of, you know, insert whatever. There is a sense of letting things happen organically, while also there is a sense of, you know, there's that time frame of, well, I'm in this program for 17 weeks. So if I want to maximize those 17 weeks, I need to get things done as quickly as possible. But we know that life doesn't happen that way. At least it didn't happen that way for me. You know what I mean? And so I would say make all of the effort and follow all of the templates that you provide, but also be realistic in knowing that not everything is going to fall together in place at the same time. And it may not even happen during those first 17 weeks. But if you can string together two or three things that are really working, then invest all of your time and energy into that, while also trying to tweak the other aspects that need to happen, but not to be discouraged by, man, the whole package is not coming together, and therefore, you know, end up making some conclusion that would be more discouraging than encouraging.
I think you make a great point there about, and I think you're hinting on the mindset of progress over perfection.
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely, dude. Because, you know, it's a 17 week process, right? And a lot can happen in 17 weeks, let alone a lot could happen in a day, right? So to think that for as long as 17 weeks is in terms of a time frame, you know, in my experience, I was coming off of a lifetime where I wasn't thinking in that way. So it was unrealistic for me to expect of myself that within a matter of weeks, I would change my habits of a lifetime to be able to fit into a 17-week time frame. But that's exactly what I was trying to do. And so when it didn't happen, then I would get discouraged. And when I got discouraged, then I would let things fall to the through the cracks. And then I wouldn't keep up with certain things. And then I would just be like, ah, whatever. And then there were days where I just didn't feel like getting up to work out, or I didn't feel like logging my meals, or I didn't feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's this cascading effect of, because it doesn't seem like the foundation that you've provided, I am getting it. It doesn't seem like I'm getting it. Then it must mean that there's something wrong with me and all of those things and the cascading effect. So when little by little, you know, I started hearing from you and Coach AC, and it's like, hey, focus on the things that are working. It took a while for that to penetrate. But once it did penetrate, then it started to make things a little bit easier, because then it took the focus from absolutely everything to, okay, at least you're succeeding in these things. And so holding on to those things made it easier for the next week or the next 2 weeks to be like, oh, okay, so I've got a really good hold of this. So now I can try implementing, you know, another thing from the pile of things that were just there. You know, but, you know, like to put a little bit of more meat on that bone, is one of the things that I appreciated, and I shared this with my wife, was when I was doing the onboarding program, there was like the mentality of someone who wants to take this fitness journey serious, and the way in which you presented the pillars that you're presenting, I think it made a lot of sense for someone to approach their fitness journey in that way. I'm wondering, where did that come? How did you develop that system to present as a training, as an onboarding thing, in order to help someone like myself and people who have come on just sort of, you know, find their right balance moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kelly. And it's really like it's been a 4-year evolution is the simple answer. And I'm sure you saw some of this, you know, just while you were in the program. We made a handful of changes while you're with us. And that's my mindset and mentality, especially because like I'm pushing you and everybody else, all of our other clients, to be better and to evolve as a man, a husband, a father. And I can't be pushing you guys to do that and then not internally, when it comes to myself and how our program works, be pushing to make it better. And it's really just been an evolution of like, okay, we think this is going to work. Then we'll run people through it. All right. This worked. This didn't work. Here's what we need to adjust. And it's been essentially 4 years of that. And we still got some more things that we're going to continue to evolve there. But I guess that's just my mindset around a lot of things too. Just a relentless pursuit of being better.
Yeah. So before we continue, I think because we just jump right into it, which is good. But for the sake of someone who might be hearing you and I talk for the first time, what is the Fitness Rebellion?
Yeah. So to sum it up as simply as possible, we stand for one thing, and that's getting the most out of life for ourselves, for our families, and using fitness and nutrition as a vehicle to do that. So we're an online coaching company that fixes and fills that gap when it comes to all the chaos of how to eat, how to train, and how to integrate it as a father. And whenever people ask me that, I feel like my answer has gotten better over the years because I'm just like, we just care about people. We can care about people and we help them get their body and health in check.
Okay. So how long has the program been going on? I just want to give people who are going to be listening to us talk for the first time a sense of what the Fitness Rebellion is and why we're having this conversation in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. So we founded the company in 2017. So 4 years going on, it'll be five in 2022, which is crazy to think about.
And it's not just for dads.
No, it's not. So obviously you've seen there, we have a handful of moms and whatnot as well. It is primarily, you know, market to dads because that's what I am. That's what I understand. But what happens is, you know, some of the dads will come in, they'll get amazing results. And their wife's just like, what are you doing? How are you getting results doing some of the things that you're doing, which I think would be fun to talk about some of the stuff around food and what you've experienced. And then naturally there's just like, you know, the Fitness Rebellion. And so that's how we get some of the female clients.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, we can definitely talk about that. Because you and I were chatting a couple of weeks ago and I said to you, you know, I came from taking a shower and my wife just came from the room and then I had my shirt off and she was just like, ooh. And I was like, hey.
Yeah, you got abs now, man, which is, I think that's one thing to really point out is you expressed like not being perfect through the entire process and having all these challenges. And despite that, like 17 weeks later, you've got ab definition.
I got something to show for it.
Would you mind sharing a little bit about like some of the food side of things? Cause I think that's something that a lot of guys like worry about, mm-hmm. like I got to eat, you know, X, Y, Z. I can't have all this other stuff. So what was your experience when it comes to food and some of the things we taught you?
Okay. So starting off, one of the most challenging things for me, and it still remains one of the most challenging things. So in parenthesis, let me just say this first. Your and I conversation is not to paint this rosy picture of what the process is like. So I'm speaking from my raw experience and as openly and as honestly to convey to anyone who might be interested in either joining the Fitness Rebellion or just taking on this fitness journey, period. Like setting the expectation of what it might be for that person not saying that it's going to be the exact same way as it was for me, right? Okay, so close parenthesis. So one of the things that the program presented was, in terms of food, was, you know, not just how to choose better food options, but also a meal prepping and just kind of being mindful of the things that one eats. What I like about it is that it never said, you're not supposed to eat this, you're not supposed to eat that. But if you are going to eat this and you are going to eat that, whatever your food preferences are, be mindful. So think about it in a more responsible way, right? In terms of your calories, in terms of your carbs, in terms of your fats, in terms of your proteins, like all of those things that together will make your body a healthier entity in order to achieve the goal that you've set out for yourself. So for me, my goal was, I forget what I said to you. I think it was, I wanted to gain like 15 pounds of muscle while also increasing strength, because I've been a stick my whole life. So one of the most challenging parts was, and it still is one of the most challenging parts, is the meal prep portion of it. So doing the grocery haul and then logging everything in and then weighing things. So that I found that, and I'm still finding that very challenging to do, and thinking in terms of portions. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine a couple of days ago, Matt, and it dawned on me why that has been a challenge for me. Culturally speaking, I've never been conditioned or programmed to think about portions when I'm eating. So to now have to do that, it's like going against my very essence of who I am, because we just eat, you know what I mean? So when that dawned on me, I was like, oh, now I understand why it's so hard for me to conceive of, you know, thinking about measuring in terms of like 2 cups of rice, or, you know, 3 grams or 20 grams or whatever the case is. So that is an adjustment that I'm going to have to make moving forward, just to be able to get the most out of thinking through meal prepping and the food portion. So that's that. The other thing that I had difficulty with was how to pair things together, even though there were videos and, you know, you had the tutorial that sort of walked everyone through that. And I watched all of it, but it was still kind of hard to pair, okay, the protein with the carbs, with the fat, and then, you know, the salt and the oil and the this and the that. And it was just like, it felt like I was in a science experiment. And science was one of those subjects that I did not like when I was in high school. But once I found that, okay, when thinking about protein, I don't necessarily just have to think about, you know, eggs and milk and chicken and beef and that. Like, I could get a protein shake and I can just knock off good chunks of protein by just drinking a protein. So I was overcomplicating things in my head. Right? Because again, I was accustomed to doing things in a way, and now I was being put, or I put myself in this program that was presenting a new way to think about how to eat whenever I would eat during the day. So that was the biggest adjustment. So once I figured that out, so it was like, okay, then I can just drink, you know, like 2 protein shakes in the morning before and after I do my workout, and I could have X amount of proteins. And so once I checked that off my mind, I was like, oh, sweet. So then I only have just like a little bit left for me to complete my protein goal for the day. And it just felt so much more doable. Like, oh, okay. Instead of this weird matrix of... But I really enjoyed the aspect of, I can still eat like I used to eat, but just being mindful of what I was eating.
That's awesome. And I think that's huge in and of itself, because there's a lot of fear around that. And it is, you and I talked, it is a change to be more mindful of some of the stuff, and it doesn't happen overnight. You know, we've already talked about that. Mm-hmm. Now moving forward. So what, I know we already kind of, I already asked you, but what's the one new piece of nutrition advice that you'd give someone who's like struggling and they're trying to figure this stuff out? Like, what's the one thing you'd say, hey, go do this right now?
So depending on the person's goal, I would say in terms of the nutrition, don't overcomplicate it like I did would be number one. But number two, if someone is definitely able and more organized than I am to be able to think through your meal for the next day, then do that. Because it takes all of the pressure off of what you're going to have to do the next day, right? Like if at least for someone who's able to prepare, let's say like 3 days in advance. And so you're on a Sunday, you're not working. You can sit there, use the templates that you've offered, or create your own template. Get a cooking book, whatever, you know, do it as a family bonding moment, whatever the case is, and just plan out a couple of meals for the next couple of days and say, I'm going to eat this for breakfast, this for lunch, this for dinner. And it's not like creating, you know, a full out gourmet menu of some sort. No, but just getting those small tips under control and saying between these three meals or these two meals or these four meals or two meals and a couple of snacks or whatever the case is, I can reach my target for protein. I can reach my target for carbs. I can reach my target for fats. You know, I can reach my hydration target. I could reach... And you can just do it with the stuff that you're already accustomed to eating and not having to, you know, all of a sudden say, now I gotta start eating 30 extra pounds of chicken just so I can, you know, like, it, you don't have to do anything other than what you've already been doing. The only difference is the way in which you think about it and the way in which you prepare for it. That's the areas that the change needs to happen in order for that person to get the most out of it.
I think that's excellent advice. And when we talk about being dads, like that proactivity, like it's pretty natural for most people when like you become a dad to like, all right, I gotta like, if we're going to go out somewhere, you know, you're going to help your wife get the baby bag together and all that kind of stuff. And that's, a lot of times we don't think about, you know, ourselves.
That's true.
And the food. And kind of along those lines, I'm curious, like, so you spent 17 weeks working on yourself, working on your fitness, your nutrition. What are some of the positives that you've seen, whether it's physically, mentally, in the relationship with your family? Like, what are some of the things that you've seen?
Yeah. So that's a great question, dude. I would say the most positive thing is the amount of energy that my son has requires a lot more energy from me. And so being able to give him as much energy as he's requiring just to keep up with them and play and all of that stuff is probably is definitely the biggest payoff, because, you know, and it's not just energy, because he's not even walking yet. He's crawling. But this kid crawls so fast. And and it's just like he just likes to stand up and jump and grab and this and that and all of that. So to be able to give him that aspect of me without me feeling like, oh, I'm tired, or feeling like, oh, buddy, I don't want to do this right now. It's just I'm not even thinking about it, because in my head, that's the reason why I'm working out, you know, like that's the reason why I want to become physically stronger so that I can meet his demand. So he wants me to pick him up and just like fling him up in the air a couple of times. Then I'm accustomed to doing that, right? When I'm doing my chest rep. So it is what it is. So I just use that and I'm just like, oh, how much you weigh, kid? You weigh like 20 something pounds? Bet it. One, two, three. You know, so we just going in. So that's been pretty cool to be able to engage with them in that way. I would say, Matt, for me, the most significant breakthrough was one, discovering the way in which my internal voice would talk to myself. Or I should say the way that I would talk to myself internally through my inner voice. And prior to this process, I never really prioritized to examine how or the tone of my inner voice. What I did realize is that there were times when I was in the middle of a set and I couldn't finish, or I would get tired too quickly because I wasn't practicing proper breathing techniques, or it was just my alarm went off that morning and my body was just like, you know, you want to stay in bed. Like, my inner voice was playing such a crucial part. And for the majority of the 17 weeks, dude, it went completely unnoticed. Until there was a time where I had an injury. I think I pulled something in my neck or something like that. And that just kind of brought me to a low of lows, because I felt like I had reached such a good place. Like, I started seeing the definition in my arms, the definition in my chest, the definition in my shoulders. And that took me out for a good 2 weeks or so, if I remember correctly. And within those 2 weeks, all of that just disappeared. All of that progress just disappeared. I wasn't keeping up with my meals. I obviously was not working out. So all of that just disappeared. And that just brought me to such a low point that I was just like, you know what, man, whatever. It is what it is. You know, I almost to the point of giving up. So I was having a conversation on this podcast with a buddy that I connected with from Australia, and he was sharing his journey of sobriety. And he was saying that he didn't want to become sober for his son. He wanted to do it for himself, and that in return, his son would benefit from that. So when he stated that, and I asked him to explain what he meant on that, about that. And he said, you know, if I do it for my son, then that's really not, you know, I don't want to mess up what he said, but essentially what he was saying was it has to come from within him first, right? If he puts the emphasis on doing this for his boy, then at any point he would have an excuse to be like, he'll be okay. But putting the onus on himself, letting yourself down is a different thing. Right. So at least that's what I took from it. So when I heard that from him, I was like, so maybe my approach has been misplaced, you know, this whole time. So I sort of shifted things around and readjusted the goal in my head from saying I'm doing this for my son to I'm now doing this for me. And that's the moment where I started to confront my inner voice, because now in the mornings when I would wake up, I started to hear what my inner voice was saying to me. Stay in bed. You're okay just the way you are. Look at all the other dads who've done it like this before, right? And so then there was this clash of, but no, like, I want to do this for me so that he could benefit from it. But so then there was this wrestling that happened. And one day I'm at the gym one morning, I wake up at like, now I'm waking up a little bit earlier. But I used to wake up at 5 and try to leave the house by 5:30. Now I'm waking up at 4:45 to try to leave the house and get there by like 5:20-ish or so to have more time to do my workouts. So one morning I'm at the gym and I think I was working on chest and shoulders that day. and I'm looking at myself in a mirror and I am struggling through this set, bro. I am struggling. And every night before we put my son to sleep, I say these words to him. I say to him, I love you. I'm proud of you. And you are daddy's favorite Juki. That's what I call my son, Juki. So I tell him, you're daddy's favorite Juki. And that morning I'm at the gym and I'm staring at myself in a mirror and people around me are killing it. It just seemed like everyone and they're doing their own routines. They were killing it. And I'm just looking at myself and I'm like, my inner voice was just like, ah, dude, you suck. Like, man, you can't, you're not going to finish this. You are not going to finish this. And then all of a sudden I had the bright idea to just repeat the words that I say to my son, but address them to myself. So I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I was like, Kel, I love you, man. Kel, I am proud of you, man. You know who's your favorite Kelly? You're your favorite Kelly.
I love that, man.
And like a jolt of electricity, like I just found all of the energy to go ahead and keep at it and finish the set and move on to the next weight class and then just go at it and push and keep going. And the more I kept repeating that to myself, the more empowered I felt to finish and to do and to wake up the next day and to keep going. And it just felt like this train that started to pick up all of this steam to the point that it made me realize how detrimental I had been to myself all this time. And so all the previous times that I tried doing some type of workout plan in the past, when I was in grad school and I tried to do that and I would start and stop and start and stop, it became very clear to me at that time, it's because of the tone of the voice in my head. And I had never paid attention to that until this moment. So the biggest payoff aside from what I'm able to offer my son physically is finally being able to make this very crucial connection between the mental aspect and what I was saying to myself on the inside and how that manifested and now how that has begun to manifest in a more positive way in terms of what I'm doing outside, lifting weights and what have you, because the voice in my head and the messaging of the voice in my head has changed. So that's been the biggest gift that I've gotten from the Fitness Rebellion.
And that's a huge one, because I think a lot of people don't even realize all day long the negative voice that's running in their head, like, you can't do this. Why do you deserve this, that, this, that, and the other thing. And this is very much like, I think success in anything is very much, it's very much a mental game.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone who's like struggling with that inner voice and inner dialogue, and they're trying to like take control and feel empowered like you are? Like, what would you tell somebody? Like, what could they do to start shifting that in the right direction?
Yeah, man. I mean, for me, you know, it happened in the way that I just described. I would advise someone to really confront the voice in their head, like to confront how they're talking to themselves internally. Ask the question, why is that the case? Especially if that internal voice is not encouraging at all, you know? Explore those avenues and just go the opposite direction, you know? If internally you are rehearsing messages of that are oppressing you, that are depressing you, that are discouraging you and all of that, what would happen if you developed another way of talking to yourself and saying more encouraging things and actually believing those things? I mean, that's, to me, that's the thing. It's not just a matter of You know, if I'm saying to myself on the inside, oh, dude, you suck, you suck, you suck. And then all of a sudden I'm going to be like, well, you don't suck. You don't suck. You don't suck. But the messaging has to be something that you yourself believe. And to me, because I guess because it's connected to something that I say to my son and I mean it and I believe it, slotting myself in the place of my son and just me talking to myself as if I were talking to him just makes it that much more tangible for me, that much more real for me. So I'm not just saying that to myself because it's a nice thing to say. I mean it in the same way that I mean it when I say it to my son every night before he goes to sleep. And to me, that was the jolt, and that was the wake up call. That was the, oh, wow. Like, you can do things in a different way once you start to encourage yourself in a way that is meaningful and powerful. You know what I mean? So that's what I would say to someone. Connect the messaging to something that you believe about somebody else, but then slot yourself in that other person's position and dare yourself to believe it about yourself.
Man, it was a couple of years ago. I went to this business event, and one of the trainers there, he took us through a similar exercise mm-hmm. where he said, write down one thing, or it wasn't even one thing. Write down a list of things that you truly believe about yourself, and then he had you pick out just one of those, like whether it's I'm kind, I'm unstoppable, whatever it is, like you truly, truly believe, and then. He had everyone layer on top of that these other new beliefs that you want to be true about yourself, mm-hmm. but you might not be there yet. So it has that connection, like you mentioned, and it just popped into my head. And like, that's such a powerful exercise and experience, that questioning of stories, because we all have these stories running around in our heads. That's huge, man.
Yeah, no, dude, that is so true. And you know, we often, you know, mental health is something that everyone has, you know, at least the majority of people are beginning to buy into, right? And we're seeing mental health being spoken about in some of the highest platforms and through some of the highest mediums of society, namely sports and some of the biggest names in those sports. And so It's such an important aspect of who we are as people. And to me, I mean, I don't know. It makes sense, at least in my head, to say that part of mental health is the voice that, or the inner messaging that we give ourselves on a daily basis, yeah. Right? Like, on the inside, where nobody else has access to, but it's just you and your thoughts. What are those messages that you are rehearsing on a daily basis that are setting the foundation for how you see yourself and how you see yourself in relationship to others? And how you see yourself in relation to the environment around you. Like, what are you saying to yourself that tints your worldview in that way? And if those messages are not reinforcing good patterns and good behaviors and healthy patterns and healthy behaviors, then, you know, we're in for a really crappy existence. You know what I mean? And yep. I'm not saying that that's all mental health is, but I think that may play a role in it. And at least for me in that instance, that morning, just staring at myself in the mirror, you know, this was a both a literal and a figurative staring at myself in a mirror and just sort of confronting the image that was staring right back at me. Do I really, you know, value the image that's staring back at me? Do I respect that image that's staring back at me? Do I love that image that's staring back at me? Am I able to look at that reflection and pick out all of the imperfections and all of the things that tick me off about it and all of the things that I wish weren't there and still be able to embrace that, right? Like, am I comfortable? Am I really comfortable in my own skin? And for me, I had reached a point where, you know, I became comfortable in my own skin, at least up to a certain point. But in my inner voice, I had not reached that level of comfort. I hadn't made that breakthrough yet. And that morning, dude, I can't tell you how significant that morning has been. Whereas now, so after that, I experienced another minor setback. And there was no voice in my head that was like, you're not going to go back to the gym. You know, now the voice was like, yeah, we're going to get through this. And we're going to go back to the gym and we're just going to hit it hard again. You know what I mean?
And that's a complete 180 and a complete different change, man. And though it just, we've talked about this, the inner voice thing before. And I think a lot of guys just do not have a good connection with their thoughts and their feelings. Mm. And I know for the longest time, this is me, it was like, I'm not going to show some of my feelings and my emotions, and I'm just going to keep that stuff like locked in, mm-hmm. until it would eventually bubble up and then it erupt, and it's, you can't really use it in a positive form. What comes up for me when you say that, I suppose.
Yeah, no. And it's all, we did talk about that, and it's all this interconnected web that drive us to do the things that we do, right? Regardless. And this is clearly expanding the scope of absolutely everything, like who you are as a person in whatever setting, doing whatever activity, is crucially important that there is that positive connection between your inner voice and how that inner voice influences what you're doing on the outside. And, you know, I don't want to give the impression that I've achieved nirvana in any way, shape, or form. But to be able to, like, fitness and working out has always been one of those areas that I've struggled in. And it's one of those things that I have had multiple attempts at and I could never overcome. But now I'm at a place after this breakthrough where it just feels like, holy crap. Like, I can actually do this, you know, like there is this inner belief that, okay, I can actually do this. And I attribute all of that to the change of messaging that happened inside.
And that's going to carry through. Your son's going to see that, which is, we talk about our kids seeing everything that we do. And sometimes I've heard stories of moms and whatnot talking to themselves in the mirror negatively, and then, you know, the daughters pick that up. Mm. And I think that's another important thing when we talk about, like, being the role models for our kids is we got to be very, very cautious about how we treat ourselves and the inputs that we provide, so that the inputs that they get, they're truly getting the best. And, well, obviously we're not perfect. Like, I make mistakes. I'm not always, you know, the dad that I want to be, but I think that's for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, for sure. The other day, I had a really low point, and I shared about it on my IG account, that I snapped on my son. I snapped at him. I screamed at him to the point that my throat was tingling. You know, like, that's how forceful it was. And I felt like the biggest pile of crap after that. So you're right. You know, we're not always going to get it right. We're not always, perfection to me has always been this really trivial thing, particularly when I see people like me who at one point I was obsessed with trying to be perfect. And I think, you know, without sounding too philosophical, any person who is whose quest is for perfection, that person is in for a really, really, really hard life. Because perfection is, ideally speaking, perfection to me has never been a thing. Striving for improvement and striving to be better people while also realizing that the better I get at something, the more amplified something that I'm not good at is going to become. Am I willing to live in that tension? And at 36 years old, father of one, husband of one, yeah, I'm okay with that.
And that makes me, I was listening to a book recently, and he talks about your metrics of success and how they can either set you up for a lot of happiness or a lot of disappointment. Mm. And I think that's exactly, if you're just like, have this, like, I'm going to be perfect, you're going to forever be unhappy. Yes. Because you'll never achieve it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And tying everything back into the fitness side of things, I'm curious how you view fitness in the big picture of things. I have my very own unique views on like how I feel fitness fits into life as a whole, but I'm curious like how you view like fueling your body and exercising and how that ties into other areas of your life.
When we first had a conversation, I said a phrase that you really liked, and that is, this is how I see it. We live life, particularly now, where we are surrounded by technology. And all of our technological stuff, all of our devices, they all reach a point where they can't go anymore. And so we upgrade our devices. The one thing that we have on this side of the sun that if we lose, we can't get back is our body. So why not upgrade our bodies in the best way that we can, right? Like, why not get the most out of it and feel comfortable in it? And if achieving that sense of comfort is through fitness, then why not just do it? You know, why not eat better? Why not have a healthier body? You know, why not get stronger? Why not get leaner? You know, like, why not lose some weight if that's something that, if that's someone's goal, you know? Why not offer the best version of yourself to yourself and to those around you? And if fitness is the way to do that, then why not just go for it as opposed to not doing it and then reaching a point, because we're all going to reach that point in life where, you know, we wish we would have done something, but at that moment, it would just be either impossible, very difficult, or quite honestly, just too late. So to me, that's the way in which I see it. I'm only going to be 36 once in my life. Right. So next year I'm going to be 37 and I'm not going to be the same person I am at 37 than I was at 36. So I don't want to get to 37 and be like, man, I wish I would have done this when I was 36. I'm 36 now. Why not just go ahead and do it?
Because what I think a lot of dads might say, like, that sounds great, Kel, but I don't have the time. You know, I've got work, I've got obviously kids, I've got my wife, I've got all the stuff going on. Like, it sounds great, but like, how am I going to actually make this happen?
Yeah, I mean, we invest our time resource and our money resource in things that we find value in. And so everyone living on this side of the sun, we all have the same 24 hours available to us. You don't have an extra hour more than I do. We all have the same exact amount of time, 24 hours. If I value myself, and if I value my health, and if I value fitness, then I'm going to find the time, resource to invest in it. Anything else that I find value in, I put my resources toward. So I'm a big proponent of being honest, but most importantly, being honest with oneself. You could talk the talk, but if you're not willing to put your resources when it's time to walk the walk, it's okay. Just be honest with yourself. Like, I was at that point where I was talking the talk for a while, and then you and I spoke, and it was time for me to be like, okay, am I willing to walk the walk? You know? And I took that leap of faith to walk the walk. And so that meant that instead of waking up at my usual time, then I would make the sacrifice to wake up a little bit or a lot earlier than I would be accustomed to in order to fit in this thing that I am now valuing for the sake of all of the benefits that I can reach from, that I will be able to reap from it. So it's been, man, I can't tell you how some mornings after I finish working out, I come home, I pick up the wife, we go drop off the baby at my in-laws, and I'm driving my wife to work, and I'm listening to Micah Jackson early in the morning, I'm listening to this, I'm listening to that, and I'm ready to go. I'm talking about adrenaline is pumping, I am ready to go. And I look over at the passenger side, and my wife is just sitting there, and she's like, "You have too much energy."
I love it.
And I'm like, oh, you want me to tone it down? I can't, because I am ready to go. So anyway, long answer short, I would just say, if it's valuable to you, you will find the time to invest in it. You will find the resources. You will find a way. I can't tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, or if it's valuable to you, you will find the time to do it. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Man, I would just say it's more about everything else than it is about fitness, right? Fitness is just the vehicle through which other aspects of your life can be taken to a new level, right? There is a discipline that comes with fitness that can be applied to so many other aspects of our lives. There is a routine that comes with fitness that can be applied to so many aspects of our lives. There are so many things that one can learn through the process of fitness and working out and eating and planning. I mean, just almost everything can be lift off the template of fitness and put on some other template in our lives. And it would fit perfectly to be able to help things go to a new level. So at least that's the way my mind works, Matt. I'm not just focused on the one thing. But I think, and we spoke about this the first time we spoke also, everything is sort of built on top of the other. Everything is sort of interconnected in some way, shape, or form. And if I'm able to achieve breakthrough in one aspect, and if that one aspect, that one block of you know, that makes up part of who I am and what I do and all of that stuff is fitness. And if that, if something crucial falls into the right place in that area, man, the cascading effect and everything else will become so visible and so evident in obvious ways and even in surprising ways.
That's honestly beautiful, man. I've got so many thoughts running through my head, and that's how I think things should be looked at. It's all tied together, and you improve one aspect, it's going to make the others better because you're going to have a confidence, a happiness that's going to allow you to put more, have more power, yeah, have more energy in these other aspects, like you said.
Yeah.
Dude, that's literally beautiful.
Yeah, appreciate that. So if someone listening to this is interested in joining the Fitness Rebellion, where can they find you? What can they expect?
Absolutely. So they can check us out at thefitnessrebellion.com, or we've got a free, completely free Facebook group. We've got a handful of different trainings in there. There's, I think there were, you know, 2,500 members or whatnot. It'll give you like actual tangible advice that you don't have to pay anything for. We've got guys in there that have, you know, that are looking to lose weight. They've lost, you know, 10 pounds, 20 pounds. So that's like, honestly, it's a, such a low risk, like check us out, see if the stuff's valuable, actually, you know, implement it, get some results. And so you can see like we're the real deal. And the only other thing I'd say is, and we've kind of talked about it, is this will be work. Anytime you're trying to change something in your life, it's going to take some effort, and there is going to be a little bit of a learning curve. And I think so much of what's out there preaches like the quick fix, the microwave effect, and real change and real transformation doesn't happen that way. You know that. I know that. And I think going into any change, whether it's your body, your relationships, your career, you need to go in prepared that it's going to take some time. It's going to take in, you know, putting in the work, and there's no other way around it.
So you mentioned that you're on Facebook. This is a program that anyone just in the US can access, or anyone around the globe, really?
So anyone around the globe. We've actually, we've got a gentleman working with us in the UK. We had another gentleman in Australia. We've got a gentleman in Ireland who's going to be coming aboard this coming week. So it's accessible to anybody, anywhere in the world, which is the cool thing. You know, to have that access. And obviously we've made some changes since you've been aboard to really up the communication game. And yeah.
Okay. Before I let you go, give someone who might be interested as practical as you can, what they would expect. So from the beginning and from initiating the process to the end of the process, what would that look like for them?
Yeah, to put it as concisely as possible, it all starts with a real conversation with a real person. A lot of what's out there today is, oh, take this quiz to figure out what body type you are and like what plan you need to do. And, you know, I know the people that build those quizzes. It's all just a bunch of generic BS. And our process is sitting down like we did, having a real conversation. What's really important to you? What's going on in your life? What does your schedule look like? What are your nutrition habits look like? Where can we kind of place these pieces to make the barrier of success as low as possible? And granted, you shared some of your challenges and whatnot, but we want to talk through all that stuff and just real person to person, actually have a relationship. Like, what's going on with you, man? Like, what do we need to do? Start implementing the low hanging fruit, mm-hmm, and get focused on that. Progress over perfection every single day. And, you know, some people it's all going to click together right away, and that's great. And some people it's going to take a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. But it's really just owning that commitment to yourself. So having that conversation, taking you through an education process so we can build those routines and start moving in the right direction. And then just a daily feedback system where, hey, how did you do? This is what we're going to work on today. This is what we're going to work on next week. This is what we're going to work on this month. And just building all those into a compounding effect. And I don't know, that's the best way I can explain it.
So there is an app that you use in order for that person to be able to know what they're working out, for that day, that whole, so all of the planning is customized for the person's goal. Yeah. There's a meal plan, if you will, where the individual is encouraged to achieve a certain target for certain criteria, proteins, carbs, fats, calories, that kind of stuff. And what I really appreciate about the program is the coaching calls. You always have access to your coach. There's the other app that we use in order to communicate with other members from the program. The way in which you changed things up recently, where you have more one-on-one communication with your coach and yourself and someone to kind of help you, like myself when I was going through my mental thing, like there's someone there to help you address the mental aspect of it too. And so the support is there to help carry that person through the program and be as successful as they possibly can, with the understanding that the individual still has to be the one to wake up and pick up the weights and do the actual work.
Absolutely. And I feel like you did a better job of explaining some of these aspects. And I feel like I'm so blind to it now at this point. But the psychology component, I mean, that you mentioned, like Carell, she's fantastic. We've added Dr. Vince now, which you weren't, it's a brand new thing where we're having actual movement screen. So someone comes in, they do a full like 1 hour Zoom movement evaluation and whatnot. So we're really just trying to keep leveling up and giving you guys more and better resources.
Sweet. So if anybody out there is interested, you can visit thefitnessrebellion.com. You can find how to get your first call with Matt or any of the other coaches just to talk about what your goal is or what your goals are. And if it's something that you're interested in doing, you can then move forward. There's absolutely no commitment that needs to be made right then and there, right?
I'm pretty blunt and low key on those calls. It's like, hey, this is what we're going to go through. You can join if you want. And ultimately, that's obviously my goal on the call if it's the right fit. But if it's not a right fit, we'll refer you to someone else or we'll just give you some resources, because some people aren't ready to truly take something like this on yet. And that's okay. But, you know, when you are, we'll be there to help.
Yeah. And if you do call and you are a listener to this podcast, just make sure you tell Matt or any of the other coaches that you talk to that you are coming in through the Welcome to Fatherhood podcast, and they will definitely take care of you.
Oh, yeah. We'll hook you up.
So, Matt, thank you so much for playing the role of host today. You did a great job.
There's a lot of pressure. I appreciate you having me back on and giving me this this power, so to speak. A lot of pressure.
Nah, man, thank you. You did a great job. And thank you for making yourself available to people, dads like myself, but also moms who are just trying to upgrade themselves, who are trying to be the best version of themselves for themselves, so that their families and communities can reap the benefit of a healthier person, both physically and mentally and even spiritually. So I appreciate you, my friend.
And it's very, very mutual. And thank you again for having me back on. Everything that you're doing through this podcast is absolutely amazing. I'm excited to continue to support the podcast and have it grow. And